the great American Southwest. I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you may be, and welcome to the best little radio program in America. This is Coast to Coast AM, and I'm Art Bell, filling in for George Norrie. It's great to be here. Listen, over the next couple of days or so, we are entering, as of right now, what we call, what I call, the Halloween Zone. Now, what that means is that for the next couple of days or so, we're going to be talking about some really strange, really frightening things, truly frightening things. Now, there are a lot of campfires, I suppose, you can go to and sit around and tell ghost stories, even fairly scary ones. But what you're going to hear here over the next couple of days is more than just funny, haha, scary, you know, like at a campfire. This is really scary stuff, because tonight we're going to be talking to two very interesting people, Barbara and Brendan. Barbara and Brendan run the GIS, the Ghost Investigators Society. And as a matter of fact, here's a very interesting story from the Denver Post that just ran Tuesday, October 29th, Rawlins, Wyoming. In Wyoming prisons, some life sentences last a little longer. Or so say ghost hunters who recently detected hauntings at the Wyoming Frontier Prison in Rawlins and the Territorial Prison in Laramie, two long-abandoned penitentiaries, now apparently home to more spooks than crooks. Built in 1872, the Territorial Prison was a federal and state pen, and briefly the home address for outlaw Butch Cassidy. Till 1903, the Frontier Prison, also known as the Old Pen, entertained guests from 1901 to 1981. That recently. Last year, five members of the Layton, Utah-based GIS, or Ghost Investigators Society, visited the two historic sites several times. At both, they claim, their sophisticated devices recorded the voices of ghosts. Noises, they say, are often imperceptible to the human ear. In one such recording, an eerie yoo-hoo seemingly echoes from another world. In another, a voice apparently begs, "Get me out of here." Still another records the slamming of a cell door and a voice warning, "Get out." Among several ethereal voices recorded in A block, the old man's main cell block, one seems to ask for a smoke. And while a society researcher explores the territorial prison warden's house, he asks aloud, "Can you give us a name, kids?" And the woman replies, "Hazel." Later, tour guides learn a young girl named Hazel had in fact drowned in a nearby pond decades ago. At Rawlins' old pen, the GIS says it found orbs, Ghostbusters lingo for anomalies representing floating balls of light usually seen only in photos. In the prison's old classroom, shower, and solitary confinement area known as the hole. So this is a real place, and this story just ran. I only read it in part. It's a very long story. I only read it in part. Just ran in the Denver Post, and they are going to be my guests tonight. We're going to have a kind of best of the best I told them scariest cuts that have been retrieved from the other side using EVP ever put on the air. And so that's exactly what we're going to have tonight, the scariest ever put on the air. All of that's coming up in the next hour. Should be well worth your staying up for if you can handle the real thing. This is no campfire. This is the real thing. And it's coming up next hour. All right, let's briefly look at what's going on in the world, and it's never all that good. Mondale. The name Mondale. Back again, unbelievably, Walter Mondale has returned to politics. Minnesota Democrats loudly approved the former vice president as a fill-in for the late Senator Paul Wellstone less than a week before the election. He said, quote, "Tonight our campaign begins. I started with a pledge to you. I will be your voice. I will be Paul Wellstone's voice for decency and better lives." Well, I suppose politically, indeed, Walter Mondale would just about be the voice. Indeed, he would, and I bet you he's going to get in. He's going to get elected, too. Mondale, once again, can you believe it? What's new is old. Prime Minister Ariel Sharon's broad-based coalition collapsed like a house of cards Wednesday when cabinet ministers from the moderate Labor Party resigned in a dispute over funding for Jewish settlements, threatening to push Israel into a bitter election. The crisis ended an uneasy 20-month unity government. So it lasted 20 months, actually. That's pretty good. A unity government. Usually they don't. At UN deliberations, as they drag on with respect to Iraq, the U.S. is warning it is not going to allow itself to be put in a position where it's going to be handcuffed by the U.N. We're not going to be handcuffed by the U.N. We are going to go make war when we are damn ready to go make war and do it alone if we have to, probably with the Brits. I don't know who else. That may be the extent of our coalition, but it sure does look like they're going. At the Kremlin's urging, Denmark arrested a key aide to the Chechen leader in that deadly raid on a Moscow theater and other terror attacks, further evidence of Russia's success in isolating a rebel movement whose envoys were once received in capitals around the world. Now, my comments about all of this, horrible as it was, and by the way, the Russians are now saying that they did use, let me see, what kind of gas was it? An opiate? Fentanyl? Something like that? They're saying that's what they used to take down the Chechen rebels, and of course they took down a lot of the hostages at the same time, as I'm sure you're well aware. And now, all of a sudden, Denmark, which would be normally not too quick to arrest anybody for anybody. You know, here they suddenly make an arrest for the Russians. That's the way, you know, the Russians deal with terror and terrorists in a very different way than we do. And I guess you'd have to sit back and think, as I have, about whether they might have the right way to do it. And I'm not saying they do, but generally, the Russians, you know, if some of their people have been kidnapped or some of their people have been harmed in some way, they're going to hit you with a sledgehammer. They're not going to send in a team to arrest you and then have a long trial and, you know, have all sorts of legal proceedings that ensue. As you get in America, you get a lawyer and you get all your rights, and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, they all apply to you no matter what you've done or where you've done it. That's the way we do it here in America. But there, they pretty much just kill people and sever body parts and send them back to the terrorist family. And they, you know, they're famous for doing all kinds of things, but one thing they do get is action. They get a lot of action. And so when you concoct and carry out a terrorist action against the Russians, you more or less should definitely be prepared to die, and quickly, because the Russians don't put up with that kind of BS. They just don't put up with it. And a lot of times I think we shouldn't either, and that we should take very direct action. Of course, we respond in a more nation-like way, you know, with bombers and all the rest of it, but seems to me sometimes you just gotta like put people on the ground and trade body parts for body parts, and that is exactly the language they understand, and that's all they understand, and I'll just leave it there and you can think about it yourself. I think this is a shocking story, the one I'm about to read you, and I've been getting it from a number of sources lately, and I have a few guesses about what this might be, and you might want to formulate some of your own. In California, in fact, elsewhere, there are shocking increases in autism. Do you know what autism is? Do you have any idea what autism is? It's a terrible affliction, difficult to describe in some ways. Frequently, though, a child is a very good at one single thing, but otherwise, this child is mentally in extreme distress. According to figures just released by the California Department of Developmental Services, a number of new children entering California's developmental services system is continuing to increase at an alarming rate. Their word, alarming. The latest figures from DDS show that 566 new children with professionally diagnosed DSM-4 autism, not including any children with PDD, NOS, Asperger's, or any other autism spectrum disorder, have entered the system in the last 90 days. That's a rate of over 6 new children a day, 7 days a week. It should be noted that in 1994, there were 667 new cases for the entire year. So that would represent a 273% increase in autism. Now, this is pretty scary. In other studies, an astonishing 1,000% increase is documented over a 20-year period. A 1,000% increase in autism in the last 20 years. Now, let's think about that one. What have we been doing in the last 20 years that might cause this incredibly disturbing increase in the amount of autism? A lot of things. Probably, you've got to decide in the end, or probably will, that it's unless it's radiation from the sun, or something like that, then it's going to be in some way environmental, right? It's going to be something else in the air, something else in the water, something in the food chain, something somewhere that's causing this kind of increase, and it doesn't bode very well. I mean, autism is a very, very serious birth defect, right? Very, very serious birth defect. And if it's increased in it by 1,000% over the last 20 years, and however has taken a jump from 1 year to the next of 273%. Then this is something that people ought to begin to jump up and down about and say, what in the hell is going on? What are we drinking, eating, being exposed to, or whatever that's caused this kind of drastic change in the way a fetus develops? This would be a really, really important question, folks. Scientists do have an answer to a puzzling a dead zone found this summer off the ocean, off the central Oregon coast. Karina Nielsen, an Oregon State University zoology researcher, said the area became so low in oxygen that fish and crab couldn't survive. Let's think about that. So low in oxygen that they could no longer live. Now, if that were to ever happen to the air, why, we'd be in deep doo-doo real quick, wouldn't we? We must have oxygen, right? She said the why part, though, is what we're still working on. In other words, they don't know. Scientists had found ocean dead zones before, but had never documented one on the west coast of the U.S. here. An investigation was begun in July after crab fishermen started to pull up pots containing dead crab. Then crab and fish began washing up on the beaches in unusual numbers. Video from a remotely operated undersea vehicle showed only dead fish remaining in the entire area. So, only dead fish. And this is in a pretty good area of the Pacific, off the coast of the U.S. And before we had no idea why they died. Now we know why. Well, or at least we know what killed them. What killed them was they couldn't breathe. Fish have gills, right? We have lungs. In water, those gills are used to process oxygen into the fish body so the fish may live, right? When the gills can't find any oxygen, it's exactly like you and I trying to take a breath only to find there is no oxygen to breathe. Well, we wouldn't last very long, would we? And these fish have not lasted very long in the ocean. They're simply all dead. And it happened very, very, very quickly. So it seems to me when you're looking at rates of autism, you know, birth defects among human children, shocking, 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 I think, and you combine it with stories like this about a dead part of our entire ocean, then you should begin to think real hard about what's in the air and what's in the water and what's in the food chain, real hard. Let's break here at the bottom of the hour. Open lines coming up, so if you've got something to say, here I am. Thing at 775-727-1295.
In the Kingdom of Nye, from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
Well, you may have noticed a sort of a stutter start there, and I'm going to tell you what's going on, and I am not a happy camper about this, but I had all of my lines lit with people ready to go on the air without a comment about one thing or another, you know. And once again, all my phones cut off. They all just went like that, suddenly. And this is something that that occurred back when I was having phone lines jump on me all the time. It broke up one of my shows, and it might be doing it again, so I'm going to try and line all this. Anyway, we're about to take phone calls. I think, if whatever it is in the electronic world out there will allow me to do it. So, with that in mind, as I continue to shuffle some equipment around here, we'll be right back on the phones, maybe.
Customer came in. I work strictly nights at a gas station, and you get me through my night shifts. I thank God for you. Thank you for your station. And I was mentioning to him about an episode I had here in the station. He said to me, call Art Bell. I said, to be honest with you, I said, who the hell's Art Bell?
I know.
And he says, an awesome guy on the radio. You got to hear him. I turned you on once, and
all
I've addicted
right.
ever since.
Let's hear the episode.
Okay. What happened to me was a fellow came into the gas station. He couldn't pump his gas. I had to instruct him, make a long story short, go out and show him how to do it.
You had to show him how to pump gas?
Pardon me?
How old was this somebody?
This gentleman was about 40 years of age.
40 years of age. And you had to go show him how to pump gas?
I had to show him how to do it.
Obviously.
First I went on the intercom, told him how to do it, lift the red lever, push the button, blah, blah, blah. He did not know how to do it. I had to go out. I was getting frustrated. It's like, haven't you ever pumped gas before? He said no. No big deal. So he pumped his gas, came into the gas station. He took out, and you got to understand something here. I've got this all on tape, okay?
Okay, proceed.
Pardon me?
Proceed. He took out what?
Okay, he took out his wallet, all right, to pay for his gas. Yeah. In his wallet was a whole bunch of old 1857 money, bills, coins, Canadian old 1857 money. And I said to him, where did you get all this money? He says, I earn it. This is what I earn my money. And I says to him, okay, well, it's not this time and date. I says, but you have to pay me $20 in your gas up to date. So he did that. No big deal. He gave me a $20 bill, paid for his gas.
How was he dressed?
He was dressed.
Was it contemporary?
Yeah, just very kind of scruffy, to be honest with you. And I was really fascinated with this money. He had a whole bunch of it. He had it in his pockets, in his back, and I even said to him, you should be having this in a bank safe. You should be carrying this around. And when I saw the money, I thought to myself, you know, like, this is weird, of course. And I said, where are you from? He says, well, you know, he says, I want to show you something. So I stood back because he was starting to freak me out at this time. This is like at 11:45 at night, so
yes,
I'm here
yes.
all by myself.
Yes.
And he stood there, and he put two pens. He said, do you have two pens? I said, yeah, I do, right here. Put them on the counter, and he says, this might shock you a little bit, but...
Well, all right, I think maybe we're back. But I'll tell you what, we just lost all the calls again. I repeat, we just lost all the calls again. So we had an audio outage. Let me see what's happened so far. So far, I've lost all of my calls twice. Once we've lost our audio, which our link, so that we can get audio from here to there. And now we're back, and once again, we've lost all of our calls. This is going to be very challenging. Very challenging indeed. And what I'm doing is I'm beginning to look at some of the equipment here, right here, to try and get an idea of what might be going on. But something dire is going on. So I'm unscrewing a cable as I speak to you, and I do assume that I'm speaking to you. That somehow the electronics are allowing my microphone to zoom across the continent and even farther. that the link is working, and as I do several other things as we speak. What I'm going to try to do is just take straight up, it looks kind of strange, but I'm going to try to take straight up a few calls here and see what happens. I am sincerely sorry about the technical glitches. Unbelievable. On the wild card line, you're on the air, I think. Hello.
Yes, sir. Wow, these evil cell phones, boy, I tell you.
It's not, sir, it's not your cell phone. I can guarantee you it's equipment here that's been just cutting us off. But proceed. Where are you?
Yes, sir. Well, I'm just coming over the Vail Pass here in Colorado. I live in Brighton, and my wife and I listen to you, but I've had some very strange things that has happened to me while driving a truck.
For example?
Well, for example, this last summer, I'm driving along. It's a moonless night, kind of cloudy, very dark outside, and about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and all of a sudden, it's like this sheet of light just came down and blinded me. It startled the heck out of me. I pulled over to the side, rolled my window down, and squinted and looked up, and not a sound. I turned my truck off, not a sound. I couldn't see anything because of the bright light. It wasn't like a focus light. It wasn't like a spotlight, you know, like the helicopters have.
You said it descended on you. Could you tell how wide an area around you was encompassed, or was that impossible to discern?
It seemed to me as like, I'd say about a half a mile in circumference. I mean, it was just incredible. I couldn't believe it.
And what happened with this light?
It sat there. I sat there for about maybe 45 seconds to a minute or so, and then all of a sudden the light just went beep and gone.
What do you think
happened? I felt kind of strange.
Yeah, I'm sure, sir. What do you think happened to you?
I was observed. There's no doubt about that. I wasn't abducted or anything. I didn't lose any time, at least that I can recollect, but it was just so strange. I felt a mixture of excitement and fear inside is what I felt.
Well, we live in very, very, very strange times, sir. So I don't know what to make of what happened to you, to be honest with you, but we do live in really strange times with a lot of things that are going on, kind of like I talked about in the first half hour, and so almost nothing would surprise me. But I appreciate your rendering that experience.
Okay, well, that's not the only experience. I mean, we're out here, you know, day and night. And
I know.
Right now, I'm listening on XM radio. But I have to tell you, my wife, Patty, loves you. She goes to bed every night with you, and I'm almost jealous.
Tell Patty hello for me, and thank you. Well, that phone call held together. That's perhaps a good sign. I'm whacking things here. You know, when electronics doesn't work, a lot of times you just give it a good whack, he says as he looks to see if he's still on the air, and things begin to work. Good whack. When everything else fails, do that. West of the Rockies, good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Art.
Hello. Where are you?
I'm in L.A.
You're in L.A., okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if I'm too conspiratorially minded, but, you know, I have a sneaking suspicion this Senator Wellstone of Minnesota was murdered. I don't have any proof of it, but it's just a feeling that I have.
All right, I'll tell you what. I doubt it, and I'll tell you why I doubt it. You can tell me why you think it might be true, all right?
Okay.
All right. Wellstone was really liberal, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, look at what's happening. I mean, who's going to run instead? Mondale. He's at least as liberal. So, you know, if they did this, you know, if they murdered him for some political reason, mm-hmm. then they got exactly, I mean, it's just like a lot of people think that if we kill Saddam, you know, we might get somebody even worse, if that's possible.
Well, it was
I mean, they've replaced a very liberal with a very liberal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but it's about winning and losing, I think. And he was running in a very tight race because he opposed the Iraqi resolution. And that's why he was in trouble. And, you know, see.
Yeah, but it passed. I mean, you know, the world continues. We'll have our war. We're going to attack Iraq. I think you know that, right?
Yeah, but, you know, when I see, you know, like the Democrats, you know, nullify the law in New Jersey, which is totally, you know, to me it's like a, it was like a coup. I just can't, you know, I think that they're very capable of murdering somebody just to keep hold of the Senate.
I mean, do I think killings could be committed for political reasons? Oh, sure, I think that. But do I think that that was the case here? No, I really don't. And if it was, I mean, even if you went out on a limb and you imagined that, yes, it's murder, and then you try to imagine what would be gained from that, particularly when he's replaced with somebody like Walter Mondale, then that doesn't make sense. I don't think so. I've been called naive by many, and I'm sure this will get me lots of, boy, you really are naive, Art. But I tried to look at it myself, and I thought about it. You know, it occurs to everybody when somebody like that dies in a plane crash, you think, oh, wonder what was behind that somewhere. But an awful lot of people die in plane crashes, don't they? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, my name is Ron from Mill Valley.
Hello, Ron.
How are you?
Okay.
Well, I wanted to ask you a question, and I don't know if you want to answer it, but I'll go ahead and ask it anyway. If a miracle were to happen and your back became normal again, would you ever come out of retirement?
If my back became normal again. Yeah, that'd be a miracle, all right.
Yeah.
I can't really answer that. And you know what?
Uh-huh.
I don't really want to even try right
okay.
now. In fact, let this serve to sort of everybody. That's a subject that I don't want to discuss until we get close to the part where I'm really going to retire. I got a couple months ahead of
okay.
me here, so.
Okay. And the other question is the show going to go back to 5 hours?
I can't answer.
Okay.
No, I don't know the answer to that either.
Yeah.
So I've been a big help. Thank you very much for calling, and take care. No. Answer is, I don't know. And as far as miracles are concerned, well, I don't know about that either. There are miracles, but whether they occur in these sorts of areas or not, I don't know. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, good morning, or good evening. I'm here in town.
Oh, in Pahrump, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay, what's on your mind?
Oh, what's on my mind? You dropped me off. You had me on the air.
Oh,
we're not on the air.
I'm sorry about that.
I know. It's beyond your control. I think the Halloween poltergeists are after you.
You know, I hadn't thought about that. But you're right. I mean,
actually,
I said we're entering the Halloween zone, right?
Yeah. Listen,
we should add that you're listening to KNYE in 95.1 in Pahrump, Nevada, right?
Are you guessing that, or did you just know that?
It was a wild, a wild-ass guess.
Well, I also listen to 770 in Albuquerque and 720, your old station.
Yeah,
Vegas.
That's the old alma mater. That's right.
Hey, we got to give them a plug, too.
You bet.
Okay, well, I don't know what it's on my mind. You're doing Ghost to Ghost. I've never called you before.
No, Ghost to Ghost is tomorrow night.
Yeah. Yes, I know that.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you want. What do you want to hear tonight? A weird story or a ghost to ghost or?
No, something quick.
Something quick. Well, I had a weird incident when way back when in the 70s. Have you been over to the Vietnam Wall, by the way?
We have been promoting it, and I am, you know, it's interesting that you would ask that, because that's going to require me to give an explanation. You listen to that, this will have to be your moment, your question. You know, it is interesting you would ask that. We've been doing promos on the station, you know, for the Vietnam Wall. The moving wall is here in Pahrump, Nevada right now. And I really, really, really have mixed feelings about going to it. You know, and I'm going to tell you why, too. I guess I don't mind leveling with you. I was in Vietnam, and I have a lot of really bad memories of Vietnam. Really bad memories. So bad that although it's much better over the years. As the years have passed, it's kind of faded. But I have bad dreams, you know, about Vietnam. I have bad dreams. I have nightmares. Nightmares, actually. And so I've thought real hard about it. You know, it's on the one hand, it's really tugging on me. And on the other hand, I'm afraid that, you know, I have awakened in the middle of the night in a literal terror a few times in my life, and it's like being right back there. Oh God, a dream is like being exactly right back there in the horror of it, and it was really horrible. A lot of it was really horrible. I was a medic, and you know, I saw a lot of missing limbs and torn up people, really torn up people, and so I have mixed emotions about it, and I haven't decided whether I'm going to go or not yet. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, Art. How would you like an amusing goat story?
An amusing, clean goat
yes.
story?
Yes, oh yes, it's very clean.
Yeah.
This all started about World War One. It was an old man that worked with my father, told me this story in 1947. He was in the habit of saddling up his pony, riding to the local watering hole in somewhere in Missouri. And every night when he'd come home, why, there was a white apparition would appear in the pasture.
Oh.
And regardless of how slow or how fast he rode his pony, that thing would bob along in the pasture, pacing him all the way home. And so he decided that he was going to load up his 44-40, and he was going to get that ghost. So he packed his pistol
with
down.
A 44-40 pistol?
Yeah.
You know, no offense, but that's not real bright. I mean, if you really acknowledge in your mind that something is a ghost from another realm, going after it with a gun, that's not 10 on a scale of bright.
Nobody said that old Hap was bright.
Yeah, okay. So he gets the gun. Yeah.
So anyway, he comes home in the wee hours of the morning with a snoot bull, and he unloads this pistol at this white apparition.
Oh, good.
Rides pell-mell to home, and the next morning, why, he decides that he was going to go out in the pasture and see if he got anything. And he went out there, and he found his father's pedigreed white-faced bull just deader than hell.
Huh. Well, as I said at the beginning, you know, that's just not the way to approach it. I appreciate your call. But that's not, and there go my phone lines again. That's depressing. Every line ringing just stopped. Well, there's some more ringing, so let's keep on moving, shall we? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello there. There, I lost it. There, I lost it again. My phones are going on and off and on and off. Oh, there they go off again. Let me try and answer a call here. Hi there. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Yes, Art, it's me, Joe from Brooklyn.
Yes, Joe.
That recording you have of the deepest hole that the Russians dug.
Oh, yes.
Would you?
And I just lost my phone lines yet again. Let's try another one. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello?
Art?
Yes.
This is Chris in Minnesota.
Yes.
How are you tonight?
Well, I've had happier moments.
I know you have. Well, we're sure going to miss you come retirement. But
well, thank
the reason
you.
Why I called...
Very very quickly.
...is to talk about how disappointed I am with people calling in about Senator Wellstone and the way the Democrats have acted here in Minnesota...
All right,
dancing on his grave.
I'm going to have to cut you off at that point because we're coming up to the top of the hour, and we've got perhaps some intractable electronic problems waiting for the times to get better. Yeah, me too. This is The Pits. I'm Art Bell from the high desert with phone troubles. This is Coast to Coast AM.
A very old friend came by today, 'cause he was telling everyone in town of the love that he just found and the reasoning of his latest friend. and talked, and I heard him say that she had the longest, blackest hair, the prettiest green eyes anywhere, and the reason of his latest flame.
Reach Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye. From west of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. Or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Networks.
It is indeed. Good morning, everybody. Well, tragedy once again strikes. Damn it. I just had my guests on the line, and once again, my phone line's dumped, which they're doing every few seconds now, and that's going to make doing a program absolutely impossible. Absolutely impossible. This is what it was doing, technically, oh, I don't know, it was two or three weeks ago, and we suspected it was the phone lines. It may be the phone lines, for all I know, or it may be our own equipment. Now, we changed one piece of equipment, completely changed it out, and we're obviously going to have to do it again, and then change back. So it may be that this piece of equipment is what's doing it, or it may be a telephone company problem. I don't know, but what I'm going to do is have them roll a tape at the network, because I obviously cannot keep anybody online, and when you cannot do that, you cannot have guests, you cannot have callers, you cannot have anything. The phones are dying about every 5 or 6 seconds here, so that makes a talk show literally impossible, and I can't tell you how absolutely annoyed I am that this is happening, because we had an incredibly good program planned for you tonight, which we will, I promise you, do in a night very shortly. I can only hope that all of this is fixed, working, and just spiffy by the time tomorrow night's planned Ghost to Ghost arrives. And by the way, I want to tell you, tomorrow night, assuming that we have phone lines that are functioning, what I'm going to do is to have you call in with the scariest ghost stories, yes, but particularly entity attacks. One of the scariest programs we ever did on these airwaves was one night when we did a show on entity attacks. And I mean when you actually get attacked by something from elsewhere. And so that's exactly what I'm going to be looking for tomorrow night with the traditional Ghost to Ghost. We're going to make this a particularly scary version. You know what? I'm going to try it one more time. I'm going to try to get the GIS folks up here one more time. Ever hopeful that you never know, this just might clear up or something. I'm going to give that a try. In a moment, we'll get them on the line and at least try. Well, of course, absolutely no guarantees of what's about to happen. What's about to happen is probably that we're going to lose all our phones, as we have been in succession. However, I am going to try once again to redial my guests, who I really wanted to have on tonight, and we're going to see if we can't make something work. It looked like we were dead, and we probably are, but I wanted to try at least this one last time. GIS people, hello.
Hello.
You're both there, huh?
Yeah, we are.
This is Barbara and Brendan, I should tell you. They are members, but two of them, of the GIS, the Ghost Investigators Society. And in the first hour of my program, I read a story from the Denver Post. In fact, only part of a story from the Denver Post about the two of you and the GIS, right?
That's correct.
Did you guys know that story had run?
Actually, I didn't know that it had run yet.
Oh?
I didn't know it was going to be around Halloween.
Well, it is. It's in the Denver Post, my friend, and so there you are. You're famous, or maybe you're a little infamous. I don't know.
Yeah, well, who knows?
But they're giving you, actually, in a lot of ways, I thought they treated you in the press fairly well.
Oh, that's good. That's nice to know.
And of course, they gave us a number of tracks that you had recorded in that prison. That's a kind of an interesting story that you went into a prison. Did you talk to the people? Now, of course, prison is no more used as a prison, but still, did you go and talk to them before you did this?
Yes, we contacted the director, and we went there first. And they have the prison open for tours. And we contacted the director of the prison while we were there.
Right.
And asked her if they had had activity reported there. And she said, yes.
I am so sorry. There went the phone connection. Okay. Well, we had such a good program planned for you folks. We had such a superb program planned for you. And all I can say is I'll tell you what I'll try and do. If the network is able to get me a new telephone unit by tomorrow, which is going to be a challenge, I will try and reschedule for Friday night. Maybe we'll push Friday night's guest and put Barbara and Brendan on Friday night, since obviously tonight they're not going to get on the air. I so deeply apologize to all of you for these technical gremlins. There's just nothing you can do when you do a talk show and you don't have telephones. It's not good. So we're going to have to turn you to tape at the network. And when we get things resolved, don't forget, Ghost to Ghost tomorrow night, Ghost to Ghost AM, whatever, you know, and whoever, whether I'm here, whether it's George, it's Ghost to Ghost AM tomorrow night, and what I want is entity attacks. I'm going to concentrate very heavily on entity attacks for tomorrow night. They're particularly frightening, and I'll give you warning ahead of time that if you are easily frightened by this kind of story, then you really are not going to want to listen tomorrow night, because this is not going to be the campfire you're going to be around, nor would it have been tonight with the GIS people. I guarantee you, Friday night, you're going to hear some stuff that's going to curl your hair. So we're in the Halloween zone, and perhaps I'm being affected. At any rate, we're not going to be able to do this because we don't have telephones, so I hereby return you to the network, and whatever it is the network has prepared for you, take it away, network.